Hello, and welcome back to your favorite podcast,
De-Influenced.
We look really nice today.
Well, we're matching, but we're straight off the airplane.
It's so funny. Like, I did not know that you were wearing this hat.
No, it happens all the time.
It happens all the time. So I have a dilemma when it comes to my hats. So do you ever tuck your ears in like this?
No, only you do that. And I've always thought it was very odd.
So here's my thing, though. When I tuck my ears out, this is what it looks like. It hits my ears and then pushes them out.
You might not have the right ears for hats.
I don't have the right head for a lot of things, I've noticed. I actually have a very large head.
Yeah.
Like the top of it.
Stella has a pretty big head, too.
Yeah, I know. Poor girl.
She inherited it. But I never can tell until you wear hats. But it's like there are people that can wear hats and there are people that can't. I used to always think I couldn't wear hats, but it actually just meant I needed a very specific type of snapback.
It's kind of like the same feeling I'm getting right now is like when my cheerleading coach was like, you will never do the splits. Like, it's just not in the cards
for
you.
No, rock it, rock it.
It's really upsetting for me.
But I think if I had to pick between two options, I would say you should untuck your ears.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because it's very odd. Because
I've always thought, like,
it's very odd that you're tucking
your ears. But now my
ears
look so big.
No. They okay. don't. They,
well, good. It feels better this way.
Yeah. I mean, that was very unnatural.
My ears
in fact,
are breathing.
If people saw you out in person, they'd be like, hey, your ears are tucked into your hat.
No, I've done it my whole life and I've never said that. So
interesting.
It's been fine.
Yeah. This is the way you should do it.
Sound off in the comments. Do you tuck your ears in your hat or leave them out? So we look like this because we are fresh off the airplane. We just landed from Miami. We did our kids' spring break in Miami, took both the babies. It was one heck of a trip. I mean, I had a blast.
One out of 10. Rate it.
I would say a 10 for me.
10?
Yeah, I feel like because it was like a family trip, like you and I didn't really bond very much.
I know, that was hard on me. I honestly thought the entire time you were just PMSing. And it actually adds up because it's the 8th through the 11th.
Dude, we have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old.
I know.
There was no extra energy in my body or space in my heart to also care for you. Like, it was so hard and draining, but like so good at the same time that if there was ever an extra moment, like it was going towards babies, you know? But like, I feel like you just have to know. And we just got back from Cabo for Valentine's Day. So I was like, it's fine.
Oh my gosh. That was like a month ago. I knew way more than this.
I did tell you every single morning that you woke up, I loved you.
I know you did. Honestly. And that really was sweet, but it actually confused me because I was like, wait, I'm confused because I think she's mad. Do you want to know how mad I thought you were or frustrated is when we got there? So we booked it through a travel agent, and when we got there,
Addie, shout out.
When we got there, I was like, oh my gosh, she does not like this place.
It was our
first time staying there. And so stealth mode, I texted Addie and Brandon. I was like, hey guys, mono y mono. I was like, happy wife, happy life. I do not think wife is happy. It's too soon to tell.
Wait,
but I was like, what are our options to switch hotels? And meanwhile,
I'm like that night at dinner, I'm like, this is the most amazing hotel. I'm obsessed with this place.
I know. It's just like, this happens every PMS period. Like, I do not know how to read the room. I'm like, okay,
but
is she happy? Is she mad? Is she frustrated? And towards the end of the trip, I was actually at peace because I was like, you know what? This is not about me. This is about her and our kids right now. And I'm totally good with that. And I want to be supportive of that.
Here's the other thing too. You have to realize I still had to work a little bit on that trip.
True.
You know? And so, sorry.
Why are you laughing?
Because I always say like I had to work, but like I probably didn't.
Yeah, you didn't. You're just like, you're an addict.
When I said it, I was like, I'm such a liar.
Yeah.
I'm lying. No, but I did have to work there were a couple things I had to do.
No, it's so funny because even before the trip, I was like, hey, like, what's your, I was like, cause we worked very hard the week before spring break, like probably harder than we've worked all year for sure. It was like a burning candle.
Really? I feel
ends.
Like every week is like that, but okay.
No, that was like a lot.
Okay.
So before we left for the trip, I was like, hey, like, what are your expectations? Like, you know, do you want to kind of just like take it easy, you know, not film as many stories? And you were like, if I don't link these swimsuits and these outfits I put together, I'm going to walk out livid. And I was like, okay.
Well, no, okay.
That's okay with me.
Here's the thing. This is actually the truth behind it is Jordan was like, why? It's like one day taking off. You 2 weeks ago said, hey, we're going to Miami. Did you order swimsuits? Like, you know, that you're going to want to share. And I was like, oh yes, I need to start doing that. I put in so much work trying to find like the most amazing Amazon swimsuits, Amazon cover-ups. Like those things don't just like magically show up. And not only that, but you order like 20 things from Amazon and only like three are good. Yeah. And I don't share the rest that are bad. I usually just return them because they're bad. But like, so there's so much back end work that goes into finding good finds that that one morning when I put it on and I want to like post it for it takes me 5 minutes and you're like, let's go. I get frustrated because I'm like, I spent so much time trying to find like good value things, yeah. You know?
No, I felt it. I was trying to find the landmines the whole trip, but yeah. No, I think that honestly it was great. 10 out of 10 is a big score for you.
I had a blast.
You're not a 10 out of 10 girl. It's usually like 8 to 9.
We stayed at a place called the Aqualina in Miami and it was so great for kids. My biggest issue though is my son hates the pool and my daughter hates the beach. So it was a really interesting place to take my kids because they hated one like 50% of the day. And so like, but all I want, I'm like, guys, we have a pool at home. Like Stella, you can swim at home. Like let's go to the beach. But she hates the sand, you know? Yeah. And honestly, they hate getting sand like on them. They're, yeah. They're like literally one grain of sand and Stella would throw a tantrum. So like it was basically me just kind of trying to convince them to go play in the beach and like look for seashells. She wouldn't even pick up a seashell because it was dirty. Like it was just like a mess. And then Stratton like needs 2 naps and then he's like, you know, and he's constipated. And then the sunscreen, like I'm so stressed out because the sun is so strong. Speaking of which, I got the most gnarly sunburn on my chest and my feet only because I didn't think about my feet. I forgot for some reason. And it's so annoying because I am like the sunscreen Nazi. Like I never get sunburned. I always have sunscreen on. But like, it was kind of like that last night of the trip where I was like, I'm gonna let loose. Like, I'm just gonna let it go and like just lay out in the sun and not try to protect myself. Like just try to get like a little color. And you know, like all things in life, I took it one step too far. And now my armpits are so sunburned. It like stings to just sit here.
You look great coming out of the trip.
It looked like a lobster.
You look a little lobsterous, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
You know what I did read on this trip though?
What?
A book called The Birthing Order.
Oh, interesting.
Have you heard about this?
Only because you talked about it 17 times.
Yeah. So basically, you know, I started to realize like on this trip how, you know, Stella's the firstborn. She's very responsible. She's very, you know, like put together. She likes to be very independent about everything. And Stratton just has his own little distinct personality. And someone I love, Jefferson Bethke, had always told me about this book called The Birthing Order, which is basically like you can tell a lot about someone's personalities based on where they rank in the birthing order. Yeah. Like firstborns are this, you know, the lastborns are always like entertainers. Like a lot of Hollywood stars are like lastborns.
Shout out, I'm a lastborn.
Yeah, of their children. But I was reading a lot about this book and it made me kind of worried for a second about Stratton because it's very natural for the firstborn to get a lot of the attention because they get older. They're like the pet project of the parents. Like they're usually first time parents. They're trying to figure it out. Mm. And then like the secondborn,
you're just like, whatever goes.
Kind of.
We're
yeah.
so like that with Stratton.
We're so like that. And so, you know, so I was like worried about it one night and you told me about it and you were like, hey, like it's just the way things go. Like it's going to produce in him so much grit.
Yeah.
And I've realized this about Stratton.
I was like,
too.
He's going to have to fight for it. Like if he wants attention, he's going to have to fight for it, which is going to create like this a good thing in him.
And he's like, have you ever noticed he's like such a joker?
Yeah.
Like
I love
he's
it.
Like, he's like a practical joker. Like today on the airplane, like I was trying to work and he was like kind of like standing by my feet and he would just like tap the keys and I'd be like, Stratton, stop. And he would just like look at me and then tap the keys again and like start laughing.
He loves to mess with you.
He loves to mess with Stella. He loves to mess with me. Like he loves to mess with everyone.
And like I tell him, it's funny because like I'll tell him Stratton like don't hit and he'll look at me and like he'll be like and then he'll just kind of like hit me really soft. Like he's just messing around. Stella, we used to be like don't hit and Stella would like look at you in the face and slap you as hard as she could still. And Stratton's like, well, no, like I'm gonna hit still and just like make it a joke. Yeah. It's so cute.
It's so interesting. Everyone should read the book though. It's been very telling for me. Like I'm a perfectionist.
Here's the thing, though. Oh, because you're the first.
Yeah, because I'm a firstborn, and firstborns like feel this intense responsibility of like, if no one does it, it won't get done.
See, that's, you know, so not Landon. Like,
I
know. Me.
I was talking about Landon with you. I Landon's a conundrum to me.
Should we call him and tell him this?
Yeah.
Because why wasn't he like that with me?
Yeah, that might just be the way y'all are raised. I don't really know. But this was like illuminated, this whole firstborn, lastborn thing. You know where it hit me the hardest was your mom and dad. So your dad is such a joker, like very easygoing, you know, but like, I think that I won't, you know, sometimes your mom's like, hey, like, will you take out the trash? And he'll just forget to do it. Right.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah,
a very last born trait. Your mom was a firstborn and she took care of like all of her brothers and sisters. And that's why she's so reliable. She's so dependable. She knows how to do everything.
Yeah.
But what I learned the most through this book that I really want to start watching out for when it comes to like Stratton, or if we ever have future kids, is it puts a lot of pressure on the firstborn because we're always like, oh, do it like Stella or do it like this. Or, you know, you have this kind of like high expectation that Stella should be able to do X, Y, Z, and Stratton's a baby, so Stratton shouldn't have to. And so even like the way that you communicate to your firstborns is so, it's so natural and inherent. Like, we're not doing anything wrong, but it's what makes them further a firstborn and further a secondborn or middle child or whatever.
It's so interesting. I feel like if I had a sister that was similar, like a year or two older or younger than me, I would be a completely different person. And like, I don't know if it would be in a good or bad way. Like, my brother and I mean, we're 5 years apart, but we were polar opposite. Like, we were interested in completely different things. I was sports. He was music. He was shy. I was outgoing. Like, there was never any like comparison when it came to the two of us because we were on different planets. He went to private school. I went to public school. Like, there was nothing that ever like.
And 5 years apart.
And 5 years apart. But there was nothing like within the family that created, like, I can't even imagine. Like, I think if I had a sister, I would have killed her. Like, I literally don't think I could have done it because I think she would have driven me nuts. Like, having someone like that around that's just like me doing the same exact thing as me, maybe I would have been like, maybe I would
have. So you're speaking so much as a lastborn child though. Because what would happen, you said it would have changed everything. It would have, because you would have become a middle child, and middle children are very like, they're the mediators. They want to bring everyone together. So like, last children are like, I can get away with anything. I can do anything. Yeah. You know, I'm an entertainer. Middle children are like the ones that are mediators, and then firstborns are like the responsible CEOs, you know? And so it would have changed like everything for you. It also, the last thing I'll say about this is it made me want to have more sooner.
I know, because you kept bringing that up at dinner.
Because what happens, like, when you have them close together, it becomes like a little pact, and like they all kind of understand their places in the birthing order. Yeah. Jefferson Bethke's coming on our podcast, and I cannot wait to talk to him about this because he has kids really close, and he's the one who's probably taught me everything I know about like building cultures or dynamics within your family. And it's just so much easier when they're closer. Like, you and I had siblings that were 5 years apart.
Yeah.
And it's hard to understand what it's like for Landon to go through high school when you're just like going through middle school.
Exactly.
Right. And so I really want them. I had ChatGPT make me a chart of like when Stella's 18, how, if we had one, what you said, July.
Yeah.
Got pregnant in July. How old would this, you know, this one be? And they would all go through high school together. That's so cool.
Oh, the pressure is on.
I know. But that being said, we're balancing that with like,
that,
you know,
I was always so jealous.
At the Aquilina, like, okay, not really being able to enjoy second because like, it's like something's going on. I walked away with that being very full, but people talk about how family vacations are
draining.
No, they are. But like, they say something, there's like a really good buttoned up saying. It's like, family vacations are, I don't know. They're not so, like, relaxing. Yeah, they're like, no. They're, it's a different type of dynamic.
Yeah. It's work. It's like, it's another job.
Yeah.
But I will say there was one night that like you went to bed, and like my favorite thing about family vacations with the kids is like all the rules go out the window. So it's like ice cream every night, candy for breakfast. Such a last born
children.
Like, I'm like, who cares? We're on vacation. And I tell the kids that, and we wake up the first thing, I'm like, what do you guys want to do? Like, they kind of determine the day. And my favorite night was Stella stayed up really late with me one night, and you and Stratton went to bed, and we just were talking, like having girl talk. And she goes, Mommy, I don't ever want to leave. I love it here. I want to live at the hotel. And she was like, I'm so happy. I love it. She's like, I love Miami. Like, it was so cute. And I was like, this is just so worth it. And so when you get those like little moments where your kids are so happy, it's so worth it. But like, yeah, I was like kind of miserable a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But like so happy. Like that's always a 10 out of 10 for me.
It's all expectations.
What do you think about the Miami culture?
I don't really feel like we experienced it.
Because we were
in
North Miami. Like,
yeah, we were kind of in a bubble almost.
You know? I would say we experienced it a little bit. Like I saw some like really young girls married to like not young men.
Well, babe, love has no limits or bounds or age gaps.
Okay, but like really hot.
Look young at Kristen girl. Cavallari right now. She's in love.
Okay, I have to talk about the Kristen Cavallari thing really fast.
I don't know. I was gonna go there. No, I have some thought opinions, but I feel like this is a really hot.
This is
hot
not about
topic.
His age. I don't want to talk about his age at all. Like, don't care about his age. What I care about is his TikTok. What I care about is the thought process or the mindset or the text group that's like, hey guys, wanna come over and make a music video lip singing? That's what's going on. That like, what if you were doing that with your buddies? That's where I just can't.
I mean, maybe there's
compute.
Yeah, maybe they're just.
But maybe it's like, you know what I think it might be? Maybe it's like a new cultural thing, like where it's like, no mom, like this is cool. Like this is what all the cool kids are doing. You know, cause he's like 24. So it's like, you know, like,
you know what I honestly thought is I thought that he was on OnlyFans and I felt like that was promotion for his OnlyFans.
Oh,
I don't have any, I have no facts behind this whatsoever. I just,
but what about the other three dudes?
Yeah. I felt like they were all kind of like Chippendale-esque niche Montana Chippendale
guys. They're just like thirst trap boys. Like they're probably
that's what
just,
I'm saying is like, why would you be just a thirst trap boy for the sake of being a thirst trap boy?
Because don't you get a bunch of followers on TikTok.
Yeah, to push them somewhere. Like you've got to monetize
true,
it somehow.
Like why are you doing that?
Yeah, my understanding was like, unless you're like the old Bryce Hall e-boys, which they're young enough. They were like 16, 17. So
yeah,
they're just like building their careers.
Yeah, they're just like, they're like in middle school. Like, yeah,
like that's different. Like these guys were like
out of college,
like doing this. So in my opinion, it was like, we need to find a niche.
Or maybe it was to find desire. A wife.
You know what? Here's my theory. I'm standing by this one. My theory is that Yellowstone came out. Okay.
Oh yes. And
America went nuts over this show.
Yes.
And they
Kevin
were like,
Costner.
They were like, you know, we cannot compete with these Vegas male strippers.
So true.
What can we compete
with? Chippendale.
We can compete with Yellowstone mixed with Chippendales.
And cowboys. Not a lot of shirtless cowboys were online yet.
And then they all
they filled a gap in the market. They're just geniuses.
And they created Montana Boys, isn't it with a Z? And then we got to find out if they're on it.
Wait, I feel like they're on it. I have an idea. Hold my hand. We should have them on the podcast. The Montana Boys.
We should just like, all no. of them, or can we just bring the one?
Wait, let's have Kristen and what's his name?
I don't know. That's the thing is like, who knows his name? So the point is that I support all women, who want to date or marry younger men. And I am
Disclaimer.
A feminist through and through and believe in
love it.
Marriage
love,
having
love.
No bounds. I just want to clarify my stance on this topic. So
oh my gosh. Okay. But going back to the Miami situation, I saw a whole lot of that. I've never seen so many Rolls Royces in my life.
Yeah.
Like it's so flashy there. I felt like I was in like Europe or something.
So Jess came.
Yes.
Was it everything that you had hoped for?
Everything and more.
Yes.
I love her.
She was sweet.
So sweet.
I was not expecting for the podcast to have as much depth as it did.
I was.
Oh, you were?
100%. I had so, like, that's why
I binged it the night before. So.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to lie to you. I invited two people from that season and it was Brittany and Jess because of that. I felt like we needed to get to know her more. I felt like you can tell when someone, first of all, like she mentioned on the show that she grew up like kind of facing a lot of adversity, going through foster homes, you know, meeting her God-given family. So I knew that she had this like incredible backstory, but then the way that she presented herself or the way that she acted on that show, like I had so much mad respect for her that I was like, there's gotta be something deeper. So I kind of knew. Same with Brittany.
Yeah. Would you ever have Jimmy on?
Yeah, I would, you know.
Can we reach out to
this
him?
This podcast has no bounds.
I really feel like Jimmy being on this podcast would be a good idea.
I would love that.
Where is he sitting today? I know that he had some.
Wait, tomorrow rough takes. So the reunion is coming out soon. So we'll know.
Okay.
But I did see that he was like out to dinner with Chelsea recently.
Mm.
But you know, they could just be hanging out. Like, I don't know if they're dating per se.
Gosh, you know, all this happened a year ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what's so wild. Well, you know, it's hard for me. I'm not gonna lie. It's hard for me to be on this podcast right now.
Like, my body just tensed up.
It's hard for me to be on this podcast right now because I recently started a new book called Court of Thorns and Roses, or just Court of Thorns.
Is that with?
And honestly, I'd much rather be reading that right now. It is so good.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get hooked into this book. First of all, because like the kids on the beach, like you have no time mm-hmm. to read. But then whenever they did go down for naps or were eating lunch, I finally pulled the book out. I had it on my Kindle and I just kept pushing through each chapter because it's fantasy. And like, I'm not a fantasy girl. I'm not a Harry Potter girl. I say that, but then I was like such a Hunger Games fan and such a Twilight fan. Yeah. And this book, I mean, I just like can't, but I can't even try to explain it to you because I would sound so stupid.
Yeah. You're like, and then he fell in love with a unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically. And the centaur.
Yes. Actually like that's exactly what it's like. But like my mind.
And there's
these
tribe of trolls.
Yes. Really though. There really are. They're called fairies. Okay. They're the fairies.
Yeah. This one shocks me. This is not anything I would have ever expected you to get into.
But like the way, like the fact that people are so creative that they can write this and think this, like it just blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's so creative. And
is there like love and like,
oh, well, I mean, we don't know, but I think so.
Is
the
there
tension
like,
is building.
Is there like sex?
Not so far. Typically the books
when you
I
say
read,
I'm reading a fantasy novel.
Oh, you think
I kind of have this depiction that like, it's like this weird mythical kind of romance / Fifty Shades of Grey type. And I'm like, babe, that sounds really strange.
Okay.
Like,
I'm going to be honest worried? With you. Most of the books that I read are not like romantic like that. They're not like spicy books.
No, you read like historical.
No, I read
fiction.
Like, and then she was stabbed 17 times and then locked in. Like, I don't even know like what's better.
Yeah.
But most of the books I read are like not spicy because not because, but I just like don't like, that's not like my style. And honestly, like, I don't know why I always feel like I'm doing something wrong. Like whenever there is like a sex scene, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I literally, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. I feel like I'm like a little child looking at something I shouldn't be. But anyway, so no, like that's not what I'm thinking that this book is, but maybe there is like, it's kind of like a movie. There's probably like a scene or two if I had to guess.
You know what I always thought would be a good idea? You'll never guess. Let me just tell you.
Okay.
So what is this book called?
I think it's a Court of Thorns and Roses or a Court of Thorns.
What are like three characters in the book?
I can't even tell you. Okay. They all, Andar.
Okay.
There's Feyre. Uh-huh. They all have weird names. Tomlin, I think that's his name.
Okay. What I always thought would be a good idea is like, because you are so invested in this book.
Yeah.
What if like after you read the book, yeah, it's like these characters like have podcasts and like you can like get to know the characters long form and then like the mythology just like extends. It'd be like the character of Friends. The characters are from Friends. It'd be like if they started a podcast like in character.
Wait, I don't think I like this idea.
Really? Why?
Wait, I don't understand. Like, what would they talk about?
They would like, it would almost be like an extension of the show.
And so like they're talking about Love is Blind, but
it'd be
they're
like,
just in
like
character.
If what happens at the end of Friends, they move, who moves away? Chandler and uh-huh, Rachel. Uh-huh. It's like they moved away to the suburbs. Right. Uh-huh. And it's like, they started a podcast as Chandler and Rachel and just like talked about their lives. And it just like extended the mythology of Friends.
Yeah, but podcasts are supposed to be so real. I feel like that's what makes a show fun.
But like, it's like fan fiction.
Okay, you can work on that.
Okay.
Fan fiction. That's one thing. Oh my gosh.
That's what you're this about to is, get into. No. You just took the gateway drug.
I did.
The quick puff of the centaurs, and you're about to go straight into a wormhole.
No, I'm about to dress up like a high fae. That's what they call them, the high fae. they're like the most elite of the fairies. And like, and the fairies are not fairies. Like they don't like this. They like, they change form.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Shapeshifters.
Shapeshifters. Thank you.
Yeah.
And like, if they had a convention, I would go. Because here's the thing. This is the reason why.
I was kidding. And now you're getting. I'm worried.
Can I tell you something? This is why I would go. Is because this book, the way they describe these creatures is like, I really have to use my imagination. And I'm so curious what other people think that they look like. So we could all get together and dress like them.
Okay, is this
and,
like...
And dress and like see what we all thought that they would look like. This is why it would be so exciting to see if a movie ever did come out, because the costumes would be insane.
I feel
it's
like...
It's kind of like Twilight when we were all like, what is Edward and Jacob and Bella, what are they all going to look like? Who are they going to cast? It's like so exciting. But like this is even a step further because it's like it would require so many like special effects.
So let me ask you this. Controversial question.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is how people get on the pathway to becoming furries?
Ooh.
Just truly. I could think see about it the now. Psychology for a second.
Yes. I could see it now.
Because it doesn't it start with what? Anime?
That I don't know.
Okay. I don't either. But all I'm saying is that do you feel like furries are misunderstood?
Well, now after reading this book, it's possible.
Man, if we were interesting enough, these would be some great headlines.
Should we have a furry on the podcast?
You know, I'm going to say no. I feel like this is shrouded in a lot of... this is an ongoing conversation in the psychology community right now, and I just am not...
Here's the thing, though. You always forget that we don't have to have people on the podcast that we agree with their mindset 24/7. That's true. What's so interesting.
True.
I just like, why like are you a furry? Why do you dress like an animal? Why do you drink out of a bowl?
They'd be like, meow. Meow, meow.
Meow, mix, meow, mix. You deliver.
Oh my gosh. Did I ever tell you, did I talk about on the podcast how I saw that furry convention in San Diego?
No. Oh, I don't think so.
And I stuck around. I was in a public park with Stella and Stratton, I think.
Were they mating?
No, listen. And this group of children, college kids.
The furries.
They looked like computer science grads. Like,
okay, don't be rude.
I'm not. I'm being descriptive.
Okay. No, you're so, not. You said computer science.
And they were all carrying these bags, like big duffel bags.
Full of their fairy costumes.
And I was like, okay, there's like eight of these people. They're kind of all like standing, like they don't know each other. They look like they're doing something wrong, if I'm being honest. And they were the early people to this show. And then all of a sudden they unzip their duffel bags and they pull out the big heads.
Oh, so furries put on heads?
Yes. And they become dogs.
I want to Google one.
And then a couple of them had tails.
Oh yeah. I've heard about the tails.
That they pulled out of their pants. So they were hiding it in real life. And then once they knew they were in a safe park amongst my children, they pulled out their tails. And then I'm not kidding about this story. Mm-hmm. Then a truck pulls up they build a giant tent and they pull down the tent to where no one can see inside the tent and all of these furries go inside.
The furries.
And so then I was like, I'm uncomfortable. Like I'm going to go, we're going to get out of this park. And so then we get in the car and I drove back and forth like six or seven times because I just had to know what is going on in that tent.
What do you think they're talking about in there?
I don't know.
I did not realize that furries dress up in like full on mascot costumes. They look like mascots.
No, babe. Like
I didn't realize that. I thought they literally would just like wear tails.
They go to school like this. This is a big debate.
There's
right
no
now.
Freaking it's, way.
Danny, I'm dead.
This has to be against school dress code.
No, babe. This is not a dress code. This is an identity.
Is this where they're using the litter boxes in the bathroom?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no way that connecting. There's no way that this is reality. It's
not. It's fantasy, which is the drug that you are playing with right now.
But I'm a furry too.
No, you want to be a what?
A fairy. It's a not a furry, a fairy.
Yeah. What I'm saying is like you're
a high fae. I want to be a high fae.
You want to be a high fae.
And roll over my court.
You know, Danny's an ally. She's an ally to the furry community.
Pyrithian. That's where it is. Yes. Pyrithian.
But you know what? Listen, to the furry community. For some reason, I feel like they're actually really good hackers. Like they dox people and like destroy lives. So I just wanted the furry community to know that Danny is an ally. She is a hyphen a hyphae, and she is not here. She is not here to antagonize or to question you guys whatsoever in a public forum. In a private question, in
we
a
come
private
in peace.
Private forum, we might have some questions, maybe some challenges to the belief system of your identity. But in a public setting, she is a hyphen ally.
Hyphae, not a hyphen. Another exciting thing that's happening this week, actually today, is we are launching our Dibby Leave-In Conditioner. Do you want me to do a little ASMR?
She's so Gen Z, guys.
Stop. I'm doing ASMR. Taking off the sticker.
So Gen Z.
Stop.
We got to get you off TikTok. You're on the road to demise right now.
ASMR. Oh, wait. Oh, it smells so good. So the thing with our leave-in conditioner, I really didn't want just a detangler. I wanted something that also had a heat protectant in it because we all blow dry our hair. You know, then we put a curling iron, straightening iron, whatever it is. So it protects up to 450 degrees, detangles and smooths your hair. It has a lot of amino acids, a lot of great ingredients in it. It also provides really lightweight hydration because some leave-in conditioners, you spray like two or three times and it's so heavy. This one you could like spray the whole bottle and it's very lightweight. And then because of the hydration, it's going to help reduce frizz and help reduce breakage too. So it's all 3-in-1. And then also it's just smells so good. So it'll leave your hair smelling amazing. So we have that launching today for my audience exclusively. And then it launches officially Thursday tomorrow. Woohoo! That's been in the making for a long time. Have we ever talked about like it literally takes forever to come out with these products?
I think that it takes forever to come out with products the way we come out with products, which is like, and I'm not just saying this, like high standard, like, you know, we go back and forth with revisions so many times, but I think to slap a label on something, you could probably do it a lot faster.
No, I know, because we got the first revision of this like a year ago. And then I'm like, no, I want it to be like this. I want it to be like this. And then a whole other thing comes into play. So then finally you get the formula right, but then you have to get the bottle and the packaging right. And for this, I really wanted like,
that's the best packaging we've had so far.
Thank you, babe.
That's good.
I worked very hands-on with this one. I mean, I work hands-on with all of them, but like, I was like, this is what I want for this one.
That's
everyone
the best
was
we've
really
had.
Worried. You know, I was told no on this one because of the white font with the green background.
You don't tell her no.
And I was like, I'm going to do it anyway. I know.
But sometimes when we just do it anyway, it's the best.
No, I know. I've learned that like, I'm just going to do it anyway. Like, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
Same.
So yeah, we did the white font with the green background. And then my other thing is like, I just really like every single product that we have. I just like the word like juicy. Like I like whenever the pumps are really like easy to use. You get a lot of product out. Mm. Like it's like very, it's not like ASMR, but like, it's just like fun.
It's aesthetic.
Yeah, it's aesthetic, but it's like a vibe to you. I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, so yay.
Last thing in our little catch up, we never address this. Usually it's you talking about the Kelce brothers, not me.
Yeah.
Did you see that Jason retired?
Okay.
No, it was really sweet. Let me read you what he said in his retirement. Did you see?
But like, he retired too long ago, I feel like. He talked about this like weeks ago.
No, babe.
Really?
You're in a time warp.
No, I feel like everybody knew who was going to retire.
No, let me see.
Okay, let me just say really fast. I feel like I know more about football than most people only because I'm on every single Taylor Swift forum. So like I actually learned about the Kelce brothers like I feel like way before anybody else does because
like Reddit?
I subscribe to every Taylor Swift Reddit forum. And not only that, but they pop up as notifications on my phone. Cause I'm not on Reddit, like hail to the nah, but like I only get on to check Taylor Swift stuff. So like, I feel like I knew about Jason Kelce retiring like months ago.
Well, I don't think it was a surprise that he retired. What I'm talking about is
he officially announced it.
No, the speech that he gave.
Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I didn't know that. Okay, I'll shut up.
Did you watch the speech that he gave?
No, I didn't.
Babe, it was like, I'm surprised you didn't. I'm surprised it's not fed to you algorithmically.
Well, I've been on spring break trying to spend time with my kids. Should we watch it?
You should watch it. Okay. But I just want to read this quote while you're watching it. It was really my brother and I, our whole lives. We did almost everything together, competed, fought, laughed, cried, and learned from each other. We invented games, imagined ourselves as stars players of the, imagined ourselves as star players of that time. We'd envision making the winning plays day after day on Coleridge Road. Oh, that's sweet. Where you grew up. We won countless Super Bowls in our minds before ever leaving the house.
My question is, do you think that Lanham will write a speech for me when he retires? No. No, I think Lanham will write me a speech when he retires. Be like, the countless hours that we filmed YouTube videos together did try on halls.
I think so.
Okay, so do you think they're going to keep up with the podcast?
Yeah, I think that they will. So, I think he's going to struggle, though, because it's like Travis's whole podcast is going to be about him playing football and then like rehashing plays. Well, I guess he can still like weigh in on his now little brother's life. And
don't guys love to listen to guys talk about football? Like, isn't that
but it was just different when it was like they're both playing, I feel like. Yeah, because they had it was so interesting. But
Jason is still going to know so much about what's going on.
And he'll probably become a commentator.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good time.
Wow.
Do you think it was like weird that Taylor wasn't there? It seems like not very supportive. No,
that's a little too intimate, I would think.
Yeah.
Like and she's probably on tour, like a little busy.
Yeah, she's busy.
Speaking of Jason Kelce, things that make you go, This has to do about Shaquille O'Neal warns Jason Kelce to put family first in retirement.
Oh, this is my idea. So I saw this post and Shaq had actually sent and said this to Jason Kelce after his retirement. He said, my advice to you is that if you're going to retire, accept it. Shaq said in the course of their conversation, enjoy your family, brother. I made a lot of dumb mistakes to where I lost my family and didn't have anybody.
He also did not say dumb mistakes. He said dumb ass mistakes.
Babe.
Sorry, I wanted to quote him correctly.
He said, I hope that's not the case for you. Enjoy your beautiful wife, enjoy your beautiful kids, and never dwell on what we had. So it's almost like, I think that a lot of these guys who retire from playing sports, they don't really know how to build a new life after that.
We need to back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So are we saying Shaq lost his family? Is that true?
Yeah. It says Shaq's wife divorced him in 2011.
Oh.
And he had alluded that he was unfaithful during their relationship. He said he now lives all alone in a giant house because of his previous mistakes.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But you know what? Good for him for using his platform to like warn people about this. Cause you know, Shaq was like the guy that had it all. In fact, I have a very direct connection with Shaq. In fact, if I wanted to call him up, I probably could right now.
What is your direct connection with Shaq?
Well, I'll tell you. So my parents' best friend, one of their best friends, Logan, Talbert's dad, sells Shaq all of his Mercedes. And he buys a lot of Mercedes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cause he's from Louisiana.
Yeah. So they knew each other very well. And he always had a lot of great positive things. Very nice guy. Always so nice to the kids. If you go to this Mercedes dealership in Mr. Talbert's office, you have pictures of Shaq everywhere. Like whenever he comes in, he's taking pictures with the kids. You know, he takes pictures with the kids' palms in their hands. Wow. Like super nice guy. Has always been very, very like down to earth, sweet. I mean, huge, huge guy. But yeah, I mean, they always had the best things to say about him, but that doesn't allude to his like his relationships or his personal life.
I'm just personally rooting for Jason Kelce in this next chapter because it's like he seems like a really good dad.
Yeah.
He seems like a really good husband. He seems very grounded, but I think it would probably be hard to stay grounded throughout all the fame that has gone on around him, especially like in the later years. But I just think that when you lose your purpose, especially for like men, when you give up your job and you lose your purpose, it's like, what do I do with it after? Like, can he go full tilt and just being a dad, being a husband? And he'll still have his podcast and, you know, commentating, but it sounds like it's not what Shaq did.
But you know, Shaq stayed really busy. He invested in a lot of restaurants. Papa John's. Yeah, Papa John's. DJs. He was on like every single ad imaginable. I feel like he stayed like very relevant and busy.
But was that just him chasing his own shadow?
Yeah, probably.
From what was like when he was a Laker.
I would say that Shaq even like so much respect toward the big man.
Yeah.
But I would say he even like kind of sold out a little bit and probably took on too many brand deals and was the face of too many things.
Yeah.
Like whenever he became, I think he did something with like fungus cream or some foot thing. And I was like, Shaq, like, come on, you don't have to be doing that. Like, you know, like you're Shaq. Like you don't have to do that.
You don't have to do Bengay.
You don't have to do Bengay, Shaq. But But yeah, I bet it's really hard for guys, especially like in the NFL, where that's all they've known as, that's basically their identity. And then not only that, but like they're spending a lot more time at home. They're not traveling as much. They're not around other guys as much. Like it has to be really hard to make that transition over.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like your wife expects like more out of you to be more hands-on. Like it's just a lot.
It's like you don't have an excuse now to be busy. It's like, hey, yeah, we worked so hard that you can be here. Yeah, now be here. Like be present. And yeah, I think just turning that switch off is really hard.
I think it's hard for like even anyone, the average Joe, to yeah, be honest. Like it's hard for me too.
I know.
I feel you, Shaq.
I don't want to be in a big house all by myself.
I definitely want to de-influence ambition in the expense of family time, because like I have even got caught up in that before where I look back and I'm like, man, like what are my kids going to say about me? Like, are they going to say mommy was always on her phone? Mommy was always working. Like,
yeah.
And when I look back at my parents, or especially time with my mom, like my mom worked a lot, but I never thought of her as someone that worked a lot. Like I always thought of her as someone that always tried to prioritize me over work.
Yeah.
But she went on trips. She was a model. She was on a TV show. She was working in Vegas and all these different cool places. But like, I always felt like my mom would show up if I needed her. And I'm like, I hope my kids would say the same thing about me.
Yeah. I think that like, whether you're a Laker or a famous athlete or an influencer or a CEO, it's all kind of relative. It's like the same problem, just like manifested yeah, in different ways. The most interesting person that I feel like we talked to lately who dealt with this was Amber Vinsbox.
Yes.
The owner of Like to Know It. Do you want to tell the story?
I mean, I want you to tell the story, but I'll set the backstory. Amber and Baxter are extremely successful. They have, I believe, 4 children. They're a family from Dallas. I mean, they just raised $100 million from SoftBank for Like to Know It. And obviously it's like a very successful company. And they're kind of like from the outside looking in, and honestly the inside out, because we have had like deep conversations with her. They're like amazing people. They go to our church, Watermark here in Dallas. And, but like, they just kind of seem like they have it all. And, she's always just been someone that I deeply respect. Well, about a year ago, all of a sudden they packed up their whole family and moved out to, where was it?
It's West Texas, like Marfa, yeah, Alpine, St. Dave.
And when I tell you Fort guys Davis West area, Texas, like imagine Breaking Bad when they go and, yeah, and like cook all of the meth or whatever they're cooking.
The desert.
Yeah. In the desert. Like that's what it looks like. Like there are no restaurants. There is not a Walmart nearby. Maybe there is, but I think it's like pretty far. And so this is like actually like far, far away, yeah, from major cities. And so it was always like so interesting. We always wanted to, you know, talk to her and ask her why. And I don't know if we made up this term or she made up this term, but we called it de-schooling.
Yeah, I think
we made that
you
up.
You told me that that's what she called it. And I was fascinated.
I think I maybe made that up, because then we brought up to her in the second conversation. Like, she was like, no.
And that was embarrassing. But yeah, we saw her in Miami in the lobby at the LTK panel that you were on. And the first thing I wanted to ask her about was why you moved to West Texas. Because I knew that there was a heart behind it. Like, she's a believer. It was a very intentional decision. You don't just uproot and move out there. Like, yeah, non-Texans don't understand. There's nothing out there. Like, yeah, there's truly nothing.
The one thing I will say, because of the elevation, it's a little bit higher. It's actually really nice out there, she was saying. Like, the weather is amazing. So you can actually play outside. Because here in Dallas, like, it's so hot in the summer. You can't, like, be outside at all.
No, but, like, what I equate it to is, like, it would be, like, if I asked Danny to move to, like, Rockwall. You know? It's just, like, it's, like, asking you to move and uproot into an area that is, like, outside of the city, outside of the urban, you know, yeah, populace or whatever. And so I asked her, I was, like, hey, like, tell me about the heart of like why y'all moved out there. And she just talked about, she was like, man, we have been operating Like to Know It for years. We're so busy. Like my kids were getting older. Like they're crossing 5 and 6 and 7. She was like, I just felt like I was constantly bombarded by the obligations, whether it's like small birthday parties or like, you know, these brunches that I was inviting mm-hmm. to or responsibilities with work. And
or
we
school
have,
or meetings.
We
or,
go through this all the time. Yeah. It's like, we're constantly bombarded with opportunities, and no matter how much we say no to, and she said this too, she was like, it's like, I couldn't say no enough to find like the peace and like the presence to just simply be with my kids. And she was like, it took us physically having to move out to West Texas before we finally were able to be like, okay, I'm physically not here. Mm-hmm. So I will come back twice a month and I can get my work done in these blocks. And it's like, she had to set the boundaries for herself.
And, you know? It was like an extreme boundary. I have never respected someone more because I feel like I struggle with this so much. It's like, we say no to so many things and still at the end of the day, everything is back to back to back to back to back, even on the weekends. And it's like, dude, I really just wanted to like hang with my kids or have a free weekend to go do something fun. And it's almost like we've built this world around us where it's like, if you say no to something, it almost hurts you more in the long term, because then you hurt people's feelings. And then it's like, wow, she didn't come to my birthday party, so I'm not going to go to her. It's like, there's so much responsibility with the world that we've created. I think also, you know, being near our parents, like our parents also have expectations of us as well. And then in Dallas, there's like in this area that we live in, like there's not a lot of good public schools. So we have to apply to private schools. So you have to like constantly be in the circuit of like networking and trying to get your kids into things because it's like so competitive. And it's like the only way to honestly get out of this like hustle culture that we've kind of built around ourselves is to literally remove yourself from it, because you're going to hurt more people and like hurt your family by staying in it more. So like I've literally daydreamed lately of moving out to Nashville or moving to, after talking to someone like her, that, I mean, her company is way bigger than Divi, and I'm sure her responsibilities though wear on her the same way that they wear on me. And I want to have four kids too. And like, even going on this trip, like, I don't know how I'm going to be a good mom and stay in Dallas. Like, I don't know how it's going to be possible. Yep. Like, I'm already missing my friend Janelle's baby shower, and like the guilt I have carried today because of it, because we're going to San Antonio to be with my family. And like, I was also supposed to be a part of planning it and like being more invested in it. And she's like one of my really good friends. And like, I feel so guilty about that, but I'm like, man, then I have two kids and spring break and it's just so hard. And I feel like, I don't know, I've literally daydreamed up about it. But you know, people always say that, something that I always come back to is people are like, you know, it's not your surroundings. Like wherever you go, your problems are going to follow you. But then I'm also know. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know. I think that like something about, you make fun of me all the time for this, but like, it's something about like also having like physical space too. Like we live on 0.25 acres, right?
Yeah.
Because we're in Dallas, we're in the city. And if we wanted to get an acre or 2 acres in Dallas, just to give our kids a backyard to play
which,
in.
Just like, so you know, you like, you can't get that in the area of Dallas we live in for like less than $10 million.
It would be millions. Like, it's millions. For the land alone, like it would be millions. And so it's like, there's something to be said about like the choice of like going out and having land and open areas and like nature and like getting our kids away from cell phones and like getting us away from cell phones. It's like Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, ChatGPT, every weekend he will work in the city, San Francisco. And then every weekend he like leaves on Thursday and takes his kids and his family out to a no Wi-Fi ranch.
But see, that transition, even going from like, that's so
hard. Yeah, that's not for you.
Like, it's for me.
It's for like, me. Like, I could pack a bag, like, have things there. You just can't do that. Like, I've learned that about you. I've been like, hey, can we just have a lake house or just have a ranch house? And you're like, no, we can't, because like I need this stuff and the stress of packing.
It's almost more work of packing and more stress to get from point A to point B. Like I just need to be where I need to be.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that like, where was I going with that? Oh, so it's like, you know, I think that there's something to be said about why these executives are like leaving the city to do that.
I think that's why people love Nashville.
Yeah, it's both.
I think you get a little bit of both.
You can get land. You can get like
open space. That's why all the celebrities move out there too.
Yeah, because you want to be away from it. And for whatever reason, like Dallas is a really hot city right now. And a lot of bloggers and a lot of influencers have moved there. And I think that that's so great for like the industry and everything.
The people are amazing here.
The people are amazing. It's just for us, I just don't see... And listen, I'm a process oriented guy. Like I've tried to hire so many people around us to be like, okay, how can we create space? How can we create boundaries? And it's just like, until we uproot it and set our own boundaries and be like, okay, we can work within this time and this time. Yeah. I don't see how it's possible.
I mean,
and it's no one's fault. It's not even our fault. It's just like a decision that has to be made.
What I've noticed being in Dallas too, it's been so challenging to build traditions. I mean, even small traditions like eating dinner around the table every night together. Because then what happens is then a girlfriend texts me, hey, Bible study, then my mentor, like we always have commitments at night. And so to have dinner together every night is like nearly impossible. And I feel like that's something that I really want to have. And something that Amber Vinsbox talked about was, she's like, there's no restaurants where we live. And she was like, living in Dallas, we always were Uber eating everything or DoorDashing everything because we were so busy. We didn't have time to even go to the grocery store or to cook. And she's like, where we live, there are no restaurants.
Yeah.
So I have to cook for my kids every night. Like I have to spend time and go to the grocery store and think ahead and plan time with my kids. And like, I mean,
who's this Ballerini Farms?
Ugh.
Oh,
she's so, too extreme for me. Oh my God. No, she's like literally out there like milking the cows. Like, please don't. Also, like her dad like owns the airline.
But I bet she was going through the same thing.
No.
Or else she just had the best brand positioning of anyone else on the internet.
Because no,
I am
girl,
hooked on this girl.
Are you really? Okay.
I just got into it. I'm like, this girl's got 7 kids and she's milking cows and making her own ice cream.
That's too much for me. I can't. Okay.
Well, let's not.
I'm still going to buy my. I wouldn't mind having some chickens, but I have heard they kind of stank a little bit.
Okay, that's fine.
But fresh chicken, fresh eggs would be nice.
We don't have to do that. But like, I don't know. Is this, my question for you is like, is this a product of us just getting older? Like, do all people like moving into their 30s start to feel this at a certain point? Because remember when we were deciding between city and suburbs, and remember what everyone said to you in your DMs?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, you'll choose the city now, but we'll see you in the suburbs in like 5 or 10 years.
Like, yeah, right.
And I was like, yeah, right. See ya, losers. Like, and now we're kind of like, okay, wait, like Rockwall seems kind of great, or like Nashville seems kind of great, or this suburb in Nashville.
You know why? Because with age, you gain wisdom
and perspective.
And with wisdom, you begin to de-influence ambition, like Jason Kelsey.
Yep. And Shaq.
And you realize as you get older that all these things and the busyness and the hustle and the accomplishments and the money or whatever cannot buy true joy and happiness. But unfortunately, you have to go through it to learn that. Because everyone's always going to tell you that. But you have to go through it, and you have to hustle and be in that the busy culture, and like figure out that, man, it's really exhausting, and really all I want to do is eat an ice cream cone with my kid on the sidewalk.
We always go back to these ice cream cones with the kids.
I know.
Let me ask you something. If you had to make this decision tomorrow and you were like, okay, I am officially breaking up with ambition, what would that life look like? Where would we be? What would a Tuesday afternoon look like?
See, I'll never break up with ambition, because like what would happen is I would move to West Texas and then I would start a book club. Okay. And then this book club, I would have to be like, well, dang, we got to get friends.
You'd be like, you're going to Cynthia's book club? Come to mine.
No, exactly. So what would happen is I would figure out the ways to market my book club. And maybe it wouldn't be Instagram, because maybe people won't be on Instagram out there. So what I'd have to do is I would go into town and I'd probably have to put out flyers, join Danny's book club. And see, my new goal in life would be to have the most badass book club in town. And so the thing with me is it will never stop. It's just like, what am I striving for? Like, is it actually healthy, or is it something good, or is it something silly that is really just going to leave me empty? I think book club would be great though.
Yeah.
Because
where are
readers
we?
Are
leaders. We in West Texas? You know, Beyonce has a house out there now.
Yeah, she does.
Jeff Bezos.
I'm thinking maybe we start small. We start with Nashville, because then you still get the city. You still get all the other bloggers and influencers out there. The only thing is like we just convinced a lot of people in Dallas to move to Dallas to work for Divi. So I always think about that too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is not a tomorrow thing. Like when we move to Nashville, you guys will know that we are entering into a new chapter in life.
Yeah. Anyway.
But honestly, I can't leave. I want to know this. Like, what would a Tuesday look like? Like, what's like, what are the things you do not get to do now that you wish that you had the space to do?
You know, it's funny. I would say build traditions.
Yeah.
Like,
you're on the tradition train.
But like
Welcome. Small
ones. Like, I'm not
Come
doing
on.
It. Nothing crazy.
Come on, give me some.
Stop it. You're embarrassing me. It's embarrassing. You're amazing me. Like game nights, like every Friday.
Right.
Maybe join like a bowling league.
Cook?
Cooking is questionable.
Those quesadillas. I miss those quesadillas.
Yeah. Okay. Like maybe. Okay.
Maybe
cooking, but like I'd much rather join like a bowling league, a book club.
A bowling league?
Yeah. I love bowling.
I hate bowling. Okay.
It's so fun.
Okay.
You know, little things like that. Things where I could still be competitive.
Yes.
Start playing tennis more, reading more.
Yes. Homeschool our kids.
Get my kids like on all the sports teams. Get them practicing. Oh, that's where you would really fun.
You would be like cheer mom.
Yeah, see, I would put my ambition into my children. And it would be a bad.
Oh my gosh.
It might not be healthy.
That's what
I'd be like, Stella, get out there and kick that ball. You're a winner.
That's what Tornado did.
I know. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Today's episode is brought to you by Dreamland Baby Co., the brand that has over 5,000 five-star reviews on their weighted sleep sack. Use code Danny at checkout to save 20% on your order. The patent-pending Dream Weighted Sleep Sack is designed to help your baby feel calm, fall asleep faster, and stay asleep longer. The sack features the exclusive Cover Calm technology, evenly distributed weight from your baby's shoulders to toes to naturally reduce stress and give your baby the feeling of security and comfort, just like a hug. The gentle weight is located on the front or top of the sack only and will not restrict movement, so your baby can safely roll, sit, or stand. A dreamy way to help your little one get the sound sleep they deserve. And don't forget to add matching PJs too. Here's why you'll love it. It has a reversible neckline designed for tummy sleepers, 100% natural soft cotton for temperature control regulation, tagless design to avoid irritation, two-way zipper for easy diaper changes, and it decreases irritability while promoting self-soothing. 92% of parents saw their baby sleep improve in the first week, and 100% of parents achieved up to 4 hours of additional sleep a night. This is so true. This actually happened with Stella. Head over to dreamlandbabyco.com and enter code Danny at checkout to receive 20% off site-wide plus free shipping. This code is for new and existing customers. Okay, y'all. If you follow me in stories, you know how I've been talking about colostrum. I was hesitant at first, but now I'm bought in. I fell for an Instagram ad, and y'all, those don't get me often, but for some reason, I purchased this probably 6 months ago, and I'm so glad I did. There are so many benefits to colostrum, and a ton of y'all were DMing me asking me to share what I've learned about it so far. Colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and contains all the essential nutrients our bodies need in order to thrive. It strengthens immunity, ignites metabolism and anti-inflammation, fortifies gut health, improves skin radiance, powers fitness and recovery, and confers powerful anti-aging benefits. I mean, sign me up. And if I'm receiving all of these benefits and all you have to do is add Armra colostrum to your water or any cold beverage. We've worked out a special offer for my audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/Danny or enter Danny to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/Danny. So this kind of leads me to my next thing that makes you go, How is social media negatively impacting our dopamine levels? Dopamine is a chemical produced by our brains that plays a starring role in motivating behavior. It gets released when we take a bite of delicious food, when we have sex, after we exercise, and importantly, when we have successful social interactions, aka when you get those likes. It's not necessarily the smartphone themselves that are causing the short-term dopamine cycles that are negatively impacting our mental health, but social media apps that we use on our smartphones. Ugh, this is so scary because it's so true. According to an article from Harvard University, cognitive neuroscientists have shown that rewarding social stimuli, laughing faces, positive recognition by our peers, messages from loved ones, activate the same dopaminergic.
That's good.
Dopaminergic.
Good job, babe.
Reward pathways. what a weird word. Dopaminergic. Smartphones have provided us with a virtually unlimited supply of social stimuli, both positive and negative. Every notification, whether it's a text message, a like on Instagram, or a Facebook notification, has the potential to be a positive social stimulus and a dopamine influx. The average person spends about 2.5 hours a day on social media. Ugh, think about me, because I'm not an average person, which adds up to about 864 hours a year, meaning in 1 year, the average person spends around 36 days on social media over a month. That's over a month. Studies Studies have compared the rush of dopamine you get from checking social apps or texts to playing slot machines. Ugh, I hate slot machines. Meaning when the short-term dopamine is rewarded in a positive outcome, it only continues to enforce the habit, like checking your phone. However, the dark side of this is that it's short-lived, meaning we're checking our phones more and more, which is creating a greater opportunity for negative reward instead of positive. And you have to think about it. Think about humans thrive in social settings of about 150 people, but your phone could continue millions of connections and interactions just from one swipe through social media. See, I feel like this is also why it's so stressful these days to live your life, because you're connected to so many more people,
yeah,
which puts more expectations on you. So it's like, you can't be like, oh, I didn't get the invite, because you're like, no, the invite was blasted to you in 7 different ways. They DM'd it to you. They texted to you. They followed up with you. Like back in the day, whenever I was being invited to birthday parties, you got a single piece, like back in my day, you got a single piece of paper mailed to you in the mail. There were times like I didn't get the invite to the birthday party, like because it was lost in the mail. And then I'd be like so upset on Monday when I went to school and like everybody went to Carly's birthday party. And then I'd have to be like, Carly, like what? She'd be like, no, my mom mailed it to you. You must have just not gotten it. Yeah. Like nowadays it's like, no, like everybody knows about it 100% because it's blasted everywhere. That's so stressful.
I have a question for you. When was the last time you were bored?
Yesterday on the beach.
Oh, really?
That's why I started reading. Remember I told you.
So you picked up the stimuli. That's a good stimuli though.
Yeah.
It's so funny because like I read this book called Dopamine Nation, and it talks a lot about this, about how like we can constantly grab something at all times, like whenever we have this like slight inch of boredom. Yes. And no one's bored anymore. But like creativity comes from boredom. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was growing up,
yeah,
I would be so bored.
Yeah, same.
I would be like, I'd be like, it was Sunday afternoon, I'd be like, I want to die. Yeah. I'm so bored. Yeah. Like one time I went and grabbed the water hose and I just tried to spray the whole driveway to get it wet before the other side dried. And I played that game for 2 hours.
I used to do stuff like that. You know what I used to do? I used to go out, no lie, and rake the leaves and put them in a huge pile and then jump on them and then spread them all out again and then rake them back into a pile and jump into them. Like I was so bored.
Right. Boredom is like so important in some ways to like the development of the brain. And it's where creativity is like discovered. But like these kids, this book talks about how these like our kids and us even, like I can't remember the last time I was bored. Because if I'm bored, like every day, like every minute of my day is structured to some capacity. And that's part of my personality. But like even when I have the moments to be bored, I just
put on a podcast. It kind of drives me nuts sometimes. How do you do that?
How I can never be bored?
No, how you always have a podcast in. And like even on whenever you're cleaning Sunday morning with the kids, Sunday morning, yeah, making them breakfast, you have a podcast in. And I'm like,
I figured this was coming at some point because I saw the looks and I was like, I'm just gonna let her say something until I stop doing this.
Well, you always have your headphones in.
Yeah.
24/7.
Anyway, no, it's true. I'm actually, you know what? I am acknowledging this is a problem and I am going to lean into this being a problem because I'm never bored anymore.
Yeah.
And you know where it's like affected me the most is probably my spiritual life, because it's like I don't feel like I have any room to even like try and understand or comprehend like what the Lord's speaking into my heart or like what I'm being told or like even how to navigate some of the, you know, like spirit led, you know, intuitions and stuff. And so I really wanted to kind of like learn about dopamine more for this reason. Cause I was like, I don't ever feel like I can hear even my own thoughts. So like on the beach, I was actually not listening to podcasts. Yeah, I was
surprised. I looked at you and I was looking for the white pods.
No, I had them in, but even when I had them in, I was like listening to music again and like old, like folk music.
Cause you know, when like, you listen to music, that's whenever like you hear a lyric or something and it spurs an idea or a feeling or something.
It's like leaving room for me not to just rush to that like addictive stimuli of like scrolling social media or like trying to look at this metric or, you know, opening up Shopify and seeing how Divi's doing. It's like,
I will say it's like, sometimes I feel like when I listen to other people that I aspire to be like, whether it's a podcast or even like sometimes when I talk to you, when I do my makeup in the morning, sometimes it's like a very therapeutic time for me because I like to be left alone. I find myself a lot of times just doing it in like just silence. And I sometimes feel guilty because I'm like, I should be listening to a podcast to like better myself, or I should be, you know, watching a show so yeah. I'm up to date with what's going on so that I can talk about the podcast, or I should be watching other people's stories to know what's going on in the influencer world. But sometimes I just am like, because my thoughts, when I do like silence myself, same thing. I feel very connected to the Lord. I feel like I'm so creative. That's where I have all of my ideas. That's why I honestly haven't been running lately. But like when I do run, a lot of times I won't even run with music because I'll just like, or if I run with music, yeah. it's like idea after idea. And I come back and I have these like revelations and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And I always felt like God spoke to me the most like during my runs or my exercise time, like just being quiet. But that's the biggest thing that this book that I've been reading, the ruthless elimination of hurry mm-hmm. is basically all about that, is like on Sabbathing or like just being quiet and being still and like allowing time for God to speak to you and like allowing time to do things that glorify God that are not like being busy.
Yeah.
Like whether it is listening to music or going on a walk and like just being still.
Do you ever feel like this is a good question. Do you ever feel like I persuade you to be busy because like I'm so busy?
I wouldn't say
persuade me. And I'm so like trying to improve all the time that do you feel like that
yeah.
makes you feel guilty if you're not doing the same?
100%. Living with a one can be very challenging. It can make you feel like a lazy piece of crap. Yeah. Like 100%.
I've noticed that like sometimes like on a Saturday, which is so funny because like where I'm at is like, I want to be improving because it makes me happy. But like, I actually want you to be in whatever state you want to be in. Like that makes me happy too.
I right? know. But then sometimes I feel like such a lazy bum.
I know. Because you're a three. And so yeah. then that spurs you on. You're like, well, I'm going to beat him.
No, it's not competitive at all. I yeah. honestly just feel guilty. Like I feel like I'm like, oh, he's listening to a podcast while, you know, making the kids breakfast while also, you know, cause he's listening to some podcast that he's going to, that's like making him smarter and he's on a walking pad and he's counting his steps and he's logging yeah. his calories and he's doing all these things. And I'm like, I'm just sitting here. You've already taken a shower. You have shoes on, you've already done your workout. And I'm sitting here like in my pajamas, haven't brushed my teeth yet. And I'm like, oh shoot. Like maybe I need to be listening to a podcast and be showered and be ready to go. Like, you know, you just feel like a slob.
I know. And I don't think that that's like right, because like, I still think that that's all connected to this like dopamine rush I get, because my dopamine rush is like from a constant state of improvement, right? It's like, whatever capacity that looks like. Sometimes it's like a divvy improvement. Sometimes it's a fitness. Like, it's just like, that's what I think makes me happy, but it's not. It's really just like this, I'm like caught in this giant distraction reel. Wheel, yeah. you know, over and yeah. over again. And so it's like, that's not a culture that I would definitely want to like set for our family at all. And it's what's so funny is like, it's not social media for me. Like, I know that we work in that industry, but I don't really like consume it. Like mine's more like getting information hits and
yeah.
dopamine from like Twitter and stuff. Is your social media?
My dopamine hits?
Yeah.
No, it's achievements, 100%.
I know, but you scroll a lot. Like,
do you think I'm scrolling? I rarely.
You're studying.
Okay, I'm studying like last night when I got into my, I am not looking at other people's stuff. Yeah. I am looking at my own analytics.
Yeah.
Like my own, yeah, like I'm looking to see, okay, did that one perform well? Did that sell? Did people like this? What do they want more of? Like I'm constantly like trying to reassess like where I'm at. Yeah. And like, honestly, I would say my biggest thing is like probably more so like comparison.
Yeah.
That I struggle with right now.
It's weird. It's like, what I have struggled to reconcile is like, how do we reconcile like our jobs being to create content that is entertaining and grabs people's attention mm-hmm. and ideally like a wholesome, like values driven way, you know, albeit, but like, how do you reconcile that being our job, but also like understanding that there's a dark side to it too. But that's like anything. I think that that's how I've reconciled in my mind. It's like, yeah. You can do that with literally anything. It doesn't mean that we quit social media or anything like that, but I don't know.
So how do you reconcile it?
I don't know.
Okay. So some healthy tips for social media consumption. I actually have a couple of my girlfriends set timers. You can actually set a timer, on your phone, like with Apple.
I know you can like tell the app, like I can't open it between this time and this yes. time. I was actually going to try that.
Yeah.
And you can do the grayscale thing. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah, it makes it less interesting.
It makes it basically black and white, and like the colors are so vibrant that it like stimulates our dopamine.
I actually really love when my friends just delete the apps. Like like Allison will be like, "Hey, sorry, I don't know what's going on in your life." Like she'll text me, be like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Dude, I'm in Miami." And she's like, "Oh, sorry, I deleted the app. I don't even have it."
It's so refreshing.
Which is so, and I'm like, I feel like people are always scared to tell me that because they know my job is on Instagram. I'm like, no, like, good for you.
Yeah.
That's so great.
That's what I say too. Like, I'm like, you're probably happier.
Yeah, you're probably happier. You're probably very healthy. Good for you. The biggest thing that people always say is don't go on your phone first thing in the morning. So Jordan sleeps with his phone outside of the bedroom. So he has to get up. He has to get showered, get ready for the day. That probably helps a lot, right?
Yeah.
You're not like...
I did try and get like two phones. Like I tried to have a personal phone and a work phone. And honestly, you did too. But now we just have two phones.
now we're just double busy.
Now we just have four phones. Do you think that like in the next like, say 2 to 5 years, people will go back to having dumb phones, like flip phones?
That would be so fun. I could totally see that being like,
well, it's kind of like your idea. Like you wanted to start
Don't tell people.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't think anyone's going to jump on this idea.
I think it's so genius.
Babe, it's literally, okay, just say it.
I want to start a newspaper.
And like, so Danny thinks this is like genius idea. Newspapers are literally dying every day. And she's like, I'm going to start a newspaper. Don't tell people because they'll steal the idea. And meanwhile, like the New York Times is like, please take us over because we have no money.
Listen, it would be a newspaper that is created for millennials. It'd be very girly and fun and written by like another female millennial that just updates us with the daily news so we don't have to get on our phones because we're all also reading the news from like Instagram or finding out about things from TikTok. So it's almost like if you are off of social media, like you don't know what's going on in the world. I still want to be updated with the news, but like I want it to be in a really cute form of a cute newspaper.
I think it's a great idea in theory. My question is like, will people actually do it? Like,
well, I don't know. I'd have to get like a paper boy to deliver them too every morning. Like, who's gonna do that? Who's gonna be paid to do that?
It's like right straight down the
like on a bicycle. Like when, how I'd recruit them? I'd recruit Amazon delivery boys.
Oh yeah, because you know I think they're paid pretty well. Yeah, at that's Amazon, my only actually. Issue. Yeah, we'll figure out the economics later, but like Danny's changing the world by starting another newspaper business. Yeah.
It has been a crazy week. We are actually headed to San Antonio this weekend. If you live in the Texas or San Antonio, Austin area, we'd love to see you. We're going to be at the Spring Fest in the historic market where my family owns a bunch of the gift shops and we are celebrating with Divvy. Divvy will have a pop-up there.
At 2 o'clock.
2 to 4 o'clock. We will be there. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode of De-Influence and thanks for putting up with us so disheveled and last minute from our trip to Miami. We love you guys and we'll talk to y'all later. Bye.